You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan, and I'm delighted to be joined by Donegal's Ian McGee and a very happy Galway's Finian Hanley. Finian, 21 years, you thinking back to it?
Jesus, yeah, I wasn't old enough to drink at the time. Yeah, things have changed dramatically since, but we're in dreamland in Galway at the minute. We didn't probably expect to be here at the start of the year, but here we are. I'll be answering no more questions for the day to any Kerry man, so you can try and break us down.
I'm here to moderate. If any of you start talking nonsense, playing down chances, I'm going to call you out on it here.
Well, Eamon came in, he sat straight in the middle, he just said, no, he'd get in between us early. But no, it was a great weekend of action, I suppose. We'll start with the game that's probably freshest in the mind, Kerry and Dublin. Had everything, to be fair, and, like, I was lucky enough to be there, and I don't remember an atmosphere like it for a semi-final that I was ever at or even playing at. It was unbelievable, to be fair, the noise, even for the parade. Yeah. I was actually recording it, and I normally wouldn't. But just the noise, it was just erupting. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it. I plan to go down myself now, but just with the kids' situation, yeah. I kind of got caught up on it. And I regret now, as I was chatting to you before, you were extremely in the atmosphere, and it came across that way on TV, that there was a real buzz about it. And you know, I was chatting today to someone else about it and saying, you nearly get fed up with the whole Kerry-Dublin, you know, rivalry, but it is special. Like, moments like yesterday don't come around too often, and that's when you really appreciate that there is something about that there when you two meet.
Yeah, no, it is something. Like, I was actually thinking about it as well. It does, at times it gets a bit boring because you're trying to go over the same things, and I actually got quite a lot of calls during the week from journalists about, will you do a piece on this? And I said no, because I was trying to keep all the good stories for us on Monday.
That's the way.
But it does get a bit boring. But then when you get there, and just the colour and energy the Dubs bring, and then there's always great banter. Like, but genuinely, it was hairs in the back of your neck standing the week, on Sunday. But in terms of the game, it's hard to know where to start. We know where to finish. So maybe we start there with Shaunie Shea's free. Finny, you stop smiling at me like that. You're just...
It was a great moment. I have to, yeah, look, I'm, yeah, it was unbelievable, really. And it's great we have that game, you know, every year or whatever it is. We had that big game. Pity it comes so late, but it was just remarkable, you know. A lot of people were saying Kerry were going to run away and Dublin had lost, but, like, credit to the Dubs, like, they never ever threw in the towel, and that's great champions. Like, they're obviously weaker this year than they have been over the last number of years, but they stood up to the plate, and the likes of Kilkenny and Fenton and these boys were just unbelievable. Like, to see how, you know, lads with 7-8 All-Ireland medals dragging a team through like that was just, it was inspiring to watch. And obviously the finish and the free, you know, would we see, you know, obviously Brian Sheehan had kicked frees like that over our heads a few times with plenty left in the tank, but into the hill, into the wind, last kick of the game, pressure on Kerry. Like, you could feel the pressure on Kerry, you know. Obviously I wasn't at the game, but you know, Kerry need this year. They needed to get over the line, and you could feel that when Dublin started coming back, Kerry were kind of getting tighter and tighter and tighter. But for a young man to step up and do that, it was absolutely remarkable.
You feel privileged when you see that in real time, to see leaders like that step up, and even the way the Dubs reacted. You know, I think a lot of credit to the Dubs, but there was a wee element of, you know, Kerry were putting pressure on themselves, and can we get over the final here? Can we get over Dublin and get into the final? And, you know, that pressure built up, and, you know, take that with some brilliant characters in the Dublin coming back. And, you know, that's what I felt. You probably see Comer on the Saturday, you see Shaunie O'Shea, you know, Fenton and Kilkenny and James McCarthy stand up, and you just think, that's the players we should all be aspiring to, them boys that just take the game by the scruff of the neck and say, listen, I'm not going to be losing here today.
Yeah, no, it definitely was one of them games, and I was watching it, and, like, it was funny, up to 45 minutes, Brian Begley had kept Kieran Kilkenny so quiet, and a ball drops out to him, and he punched out of air. It was like, kind of, you give a fella, here's a gimme now, get yourself into it, and he just exploded. And like you mentioned there, Brian Fenton, James McCarthy, Cormac Costello, who's been around a long time. Like, Costello's goal was unbelievable. Like, that finish. And it all came from a bit of sloppiness from Kerry. We were, I had felt at the time we were starting to get a bit lateral. Maybe there was a bit of fear of kicking the ball in. Maybe the wind was playing a bigger factor than it felt on TV and even in the stand. But just the character by the Dubs, and like we mentioned the lads there, Fenton, Kilkenny, you know, James McCarthy, probably got on as one of the best ever. These boys haven't got all the medals for no reason. And when they need the fellas to stand up and fight, because obviously it is a much changed Dublin team. Yeah. Like it was phenomenal. And from a Kerry point of view, that fear did creep in. Not only probably on the pitch, but in the stand, I was definitely getting a bit
twitchy. Were you on the edge of the seat, right?
Oh, jeez, I was twitchy. My wife was beside me. She knew not to talk to me at that stage. My programme was in tatters after, because I'm sitting right by the railing and I'm hopping it off it. But yeah, there was a fear factor. And we talked about it before, about Jack O'Connor bringing a bit of extra steel. And he actually mentioned it, that they have worked an awful lot on that side of the game. And look, I think in another year, maybe a couple of years ago, they would have lost that game.
Yeah, and is there much, would you see a Paddy Talley influence there? Because I was thinking, you know, a lot of Kerry are better defensively, far better defensively than they would have been. And, like, is that Quirk's there too? Jack's there? And would Paddy Talley have a big influence there now? Because Paddy would have been took a lot of flack for the down, you know, campaign this last few years and how. But when you see, you know, I seen an interview with Keenan Mooney done, I think the players are just in a bad place mentally and just they don't have the psychology. So maybe he took flack that wasn't warranted, and he's still a good coach now. And would you see that?
Yeah, I well, definitely see it. And like what I found with Kerry yesterday, normally Kerry get their energy off the scores. Like David, some of the scores David and Shawnee got in the first half, we'll talk about a bit later. But in the second half especially, the amount of turnovers they got, the amount of blocks, do you know, amount of times where on another day they would, or another year they would have conceded, the energy that was giving to the supporters and the team. And it was, like at times it was very unlike Kerry. But we had to get like that eventually. It was what was costing Kerry big games. And like 100% credit has to go to Paddy Talley. And obviously Jack is, I'd imagine, giving him free rein defensively. And Jack, I always said it, he's raw and he's a rough diamond and he doesn't care how Kerry get over the line. And I'd say he came in this year and, like we mentioned that word steel, that's what he wanted to bring, because there's no point talking about good footballers, because good footballers and nice footballers don't win All-Ireland. You need that bit of steel.
I think Dublin have proved that over this last year. Like Dublin, lovely footballing team, but you know, they held that nastiness. And you know, even when you see Evan Comerford shaking the pole, like just to try and that last kick, you know, it's in them. And you know, that's Kerry have gone on that journey. And you know, the wee verbals, we kind of nipping at players once they're once they get a chance. That unfortunately, I think that's the way winners have got to be nasty now.
Yeah, and like if you asked me over the last number of years if you could take one of the Dublin players, I would have probably up to this year when Tyke Morley's gone, says I would probably said John Small. Do you know, he was that fella, like he can go up, he can kick the scores, but he can be as nasty as they come in a good way. Like, and I was always, we were lacking somebody like that. We're starting to add a bit more of that. But going back to the game, I suppose the first half, everything that Kerry were good at, Dublin just weren't at it. They were uncharacteristic. Why is it just highlighted? It's only after, when you're looking at the wind, how tough it was. And the only problem for Kerry is at half time they probably should have been more up. And you know, with the penalty, I don't know what your opinions, but did you think it was a penalty?
Yeah, it was. It would have been given, I think, out the pitch. You know, like when you're anyway behind the man and you're getting the hand that's further away across the body, you're leaving yourself open. You know, if he had near hand tackled or whatever it was, I think he would have went down anyway. But it probably marginally was. Yeah, it was a penalty. You know, look, you can say it's soft or whatever, but it's black and white. It's either a penalty or it isn't. And I think the ref got it right. It would have been a free out the pitch, but the penalty itself was poor, you know, for Sean O'Shea to be taken. Like, you know, you could feel the bit of nerves in it as well. You know, there was a lot of pressure on it, because it would have put them probably comfortably in the driving seat. Would they have pulled away if they got it? And that gave the Dubs a lot of energy, that save. And obviously the antics that happened before that. Evan Comerford, you know, he got a bit he got a bit light in the head or whatever it was. But look, this is all part of it. You know, we're naive to say, Darren, that we go to training and we're not talking about smart fouls and It's slowing the game down. It's getting set up. It's all this is happening. Do the public think that you go to train, you don't talk about this? This is all part of the game. The goalie warming up. That goalie was never coming on, for God's sake, you know.
But tell me this: when the penalty's given and Comerford goes down, it's obviously great. It's great game management by Dublin, but you're the officials. Nobody's around him. He hits the deck. Holds his head, and then the physios come on and rub his legs.
They don't even actually know what injury to treat the physio. They confuse themselves.
Surely be the God, the umpires can say to the ref, there's nothing wrong
but
here.
But there's code. There's code. There's 100% code for all this sort of stuff.
Their hands are tied. Physios
know what's going on. It's like, right, you're going down, you get on. I do it every second minute for the club
at the moment because I'd be exhausted. Hmm. And you come down, you waste a couple of minutes, whatever. It's fine. But my thing is, with a black card, you have a player off. What did he miss? Maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah, well, that's a different conversation. Yeah, that's a problem. Obviously, they'll have to sort that out.
But it's great. You know? I actually thought it was great. Like we said, you obviously talk about this stuff. It's great game management by Dublin. And he's a young goalie.
Yeah.
Do you know if that was Cluxton doing it? You said that's years of experience. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get over how good a lot of the newer Dublin players, their game management is. Their maturity. I know they have great leaders around them, but it's like they pick this, it's like they just soak it up like a sponge as if they've been there for a couple of years, which is a massive credit to them.
Or it's like it's talked about an awful lot in the training and it's emphasised an awful lot. The reality is just the rule is open to that. And I think you're like, if Galway didn't do it, if Kerry didn't do it, they'd be silly not to do it, to take time off. And the rule is open to, you know, having it abused like that there, and you asked about the umpires, can they say right up you get, their hands are tied, the referee's hands tied, it's his word against, if I'm saying I'm injured, I'm saying I'm a head injury, he's got to go. And again, players and teams are always going to push it to the letter of the law, and I just feel if they need to change the rule if they don't want to see repeat scenes like that.
Yeah, I think referees are getting a bit smarter to the going down with anyone that's not a proper head injury, would say they're waving play on, which is great, because there's nothing worse than the ref, there's a counter attack about to start for the supporter, and the buzz is up, and next thing the ref is flagging it back to go back because someone needs a bit of the magic spray or whatever it is. It's nonsense, and it kills the game. And as Eamon says, it's all part of it. Let's get smart fouls up front, all this sort of stuff, the cynicism of the game. But sure, look, at the end of the day, Galway and Kerry are in the final. They don't care about any of this crap.
Going back to Dublin, obviously the first half, Kerry were very good. Moved the ball really well. The big player stood up. Dublin, for me, was watching the game. The inside line, the movement was just non-existent. Mm-hmm. Lateral across the field, taking shots that were a bit rushed and uncharacteristically wide. If Conor Callan's there, obviously they're a different Dublin team, and it'll be a case of, if Conor was there, would Dublin have won? We don't know. Maybe they'd be better, maybe they'd be worse. We don't know. But it was amazing. We talked about it before, how big an impact he has, but being there live and actually being quite high, you could see everything back and forth, because they had nobody inside that was willing to be that ball winner. And they just looked so blunt in that first half. It was just so unlike Dublin. My wife, like I said, was beside me, and she wouldn't be a big football interested. And she goes, if they weren't off for the last 10 years, I say, she'd know Dublin playing, even if they didn't have Dublin jerseys on. And she said they were unrecognisable in that first half. It was the best footballing statement she ever gave.
Conor Callan plays, I think Dublin actually go on and won that game, because it changes the whole dynamic in terms of matchups, in terms of who's covering. I don't think you can go man to man. It's like Clifford, you got to have that cover in front of you, nearly double mark him. And it changes the whole. And how that game panned out, if Conor Callan's on the field, I feel Dublin won that game. And probably one of the notes I had, put down before this was, ask Darren, does Dublin win the game with Conor Callan? If he starts, do you see Kerry beating that? Do you think Dublin won that game?
I'd tipped Dublin if they had Conor Callaghan, because just they did do really well in possession in the second half, but as Eamon says, that ball into the four forward to stick to a guy that can move and can cause trouble. Mm. If Clifford wasn't playing, it's similar mm-hmm. ability wise, do you know what I mean? So I think if Conor was playing, it's an absolutely different game, because they would have kicked into
different,
the full
it's
forward
a
line.
Totally different game playing Dublin play. They're not as ponderous, they're not as slow
well,
and
Dean
ball
Rock,
way more direct.
For instance, Dean Rock wasn't overly in the game, but Conor O'Callaghan gets him in the game, because when the ball sticks, Dean knows it's going to stick and he's off the loop and he's mm-hmm. 2 or 3 points from play then all of a sudden,
yeah.
And that puts his marker under pressure. So the magnitude of the loss was absolutely huge, you know, and it was similar to if Clifford wasn't playing.
Yeah, the thing is with Con, if Con's missing, obviously you're missing a great player, but everyone else's level around him drops a small bit. Mm.
100%.
I just felt that him not being there allowed Kerry to do that defensive plan that they want by getting a few bodies back, holding positions. You mind that D area where he wants to be winning ball and they're just going to be patient back. And of course, then you add in a couple of wides and you're that bit mm. extra patient, and you're maybe, did a couple of chances where they could have shot, maybe wrong players in the right positions. They didn't take it. It was back and forth. And then they were open to the turnovers, and Kerry have better pace now this year and they were able to counter. But it is one of the ones we won't know, and from a Kerry point of view, I'm sure they're delighted. I'm delighted. But I think like Dublin in the first half, just to struggle for scores, like I said, it was so unlike Dublin. Even like to Costa, he got a great goal, but if Conn's there, you're banking on for him for 2 or 3 anyway from play.
Hmm. Yeah, and as I says, it just, people say Dublin are in transition. Dublin are in transition, but they're not going to transition to, you know, an average team. Mm. They're going to be playing to it. They'll be back. Conn will be back. The lads will stay around. I don't think, you know, there's talk about retirements, but I don't see any of them as, you know, James McCarthy or any of the boys as wanting to retire. And them younger boys, you know, like Zidell and all these boys, they'll have another year in the setup, another year to acclimatise to the standards within Dublin, to the standards that like Kilkenny, you know, Fenton and these have been setting. So, you know, they're obviously not going to be at the level they were. But they're still going to be, you know, I predict semi-finalists. They're going to be in the top four, and that's the reality of the whole Dublin thing. You know, how many years ago did the whole funding issue, and we created an absolute monster, which, you know, I feel that we had to create, and the capital, you know, has to be strong in the capital. And that means that Dublin are forevermore going to be in the semi-final, final, or top four anyway of the All-Ireland Series.
Yeah, they were never going to disappear, and like we've highlighted here in this show, we probably all got a bit of enjoyment out of them struggling in the league, and it was a bit of crack, we had a bit of hot ball, but like that, we all expect them just to get promoted next year, and they will be competing all the time. Mm. But I suppose going back to Kerry, the first half, it was so good to watch. I suppose Shawnee Shea started like a house on fire. David Clifford kicked some just unbelievable scores left and right. Like I was sitting there, and you know, like I said, I can't keep my powder dry at all. I get very excited watching, especially my own team, but I was trying to watch the two boys and just enjoy them, and they are just incredible, to be fair. And I don't want to be just building them two up, because there was a lot more of them around the place, but you contrast the first half and then the worries kicks in, because the mm-hmm. second half just wasn't there. Mm. Obviously Dublin got on top, but I do think it came to maybe that bit of fear, because Kerry should have been up by more at half time, I felt. And then there was a bit of fear, and then the 6 point goes to 5 points, a goal. Mm. But when Kerry needed someone, we had a conversation last week on the show, Paddy Clifford, where is the best position? We were on with Shawnee being centre forward, Paddy's coming too deep. Kerry got that right yesterday for the most part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where Shawnee was a bit closer into goal, like that. He got 1-1 at the start. He was winning ball. He looked hungry. He looked eager. Paddy was a bit deeper out, and he was linking the play really well. But in the second half, when Kerry could not get that structure, couldn't get the ball into David, Shawnee was being well marked now at this stage. Paddy Clifford was probably the only one up there that was consistently winning ball, holding ball, poking holes.
Yeah.
But it is going to be a worry for Kerry going into the final against Galway.
He's the perfect player out there, you know. And as you said, those three in a triangle with Shawnee Shea at 13, we'll say, and Clifford. Like, Sean Shea is very elusive, you know. You don't think it because he's out around the middle and he gets on kind of slower ball. But, like, his movement inside and his pace, we probably underestimated a small bit because he's got so much else, and he wouldn't be as, you wouldn't see him as elusive as Clifford. But in the first half there, the runs he was making, the balls he was winning,
like, all hard,
that's
balls.
A serious threat to say that you've got those two boys in the full forward line, and Paddy Clifford's kick passing is just, it's brilliant. I'd say the boys love it. You'd love to be playing inside, I presume.
His,
and you'd hate to be a defender,
is
Mark. It is. And he buzzes around there and gets on the ball. No, he's a fantastic player. You know, like a couple of years back, it was kind of talk. He's been brought into the panel. All of a sudden, he's heading for a second All-Star and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And
where was he? Like, what was?
What age is he?
He's 32.
Because he's a serious player.
I think the thing with Paddy was, he sees, like, obviously the younger brother was getting a lot of the hype, and then he came in and he was probably going, I'm every bit as good as him, and I'm doing the business. And it was a case of, to do what you need to. Cop on a small bit.
Maybe
it was a bit wild or whatever, but he was just incredible yesterday. And like that, you had Shawnee, you had David, and you had Paddy, because Paul Ganey had a baby, or his wife had a baby 10 days ago or so. He was off the boil a small bit yesterday. I wouldn't expect him to be like that the next day, but to have David Clifford and Paul Ganey inside and Shawnee just a small bit in front of him, you have three scorers there, three good ball, and it allows Paddy to play that game a bit further out. But then it is that balance that maybe Shawnee and Paddy can rotate a small bit, but it is about getting that balance, making sure Kerry have the bodies further up the field. So that'll be important against Galway.
And you have, I suppose, Paddy Clifford has skipped the queue really, because you had Killian Spillane, Tony Brosnan, these great hopes.
Tony
that
didn't
were
see action yesterday.
Didn't see action, and now Paddy Clifford is the man, and those boys have been left down the pecking order for a reason. He's obviously performing in training as well. So, you know, and Micheál Burns and these guys have been kind of pushed to the side a little bit. Now they're unbelievable players to bring on, but this guy must be absolutely excelling week in, week out to be keeping those guys who are, you know, seen as better scoring forwards in Kerry than Paddy Clifford. So, dangerous outfit, dangerous forward line.
It's, yeah, not a big call. Jack Connor got Jack Barry starting. Darren Mining dropped to the bench. Dermot Connor kind of pushing to wing forward. Jack Barry taking up his usual role, and Fintan did okay in him.
I think Barry's been at that role for, you know, the last how many years?
A number of years.
And he's been fairly effective, because, as I say, Fenton and Kilkenny are probably the two main get the ball, and they're going to create stuff. So you cancel without Conn now, without Conn being there, you cancel them out. You know, you're on a good, you know, way going on to one now. But Conor got the call right, and, you know, that's probably a big thing too, in terms of Kerry had a wee bit more depth, you know, than Dublin. Dublin famously had the bench of spring. They don't have that anymore, and, you know, Kerry are, you know, they're probably, you know, 18, 19 good players to bring on.
Yeah, the other thing as well for Kerry as well, the last thing I want to highlight, the likes of Brian Begley, Jason Foley, do you know, a lot of these players would have been getting a lot of stick over the last number of years, Gavin White. Do you know, it's the same players Kerry have in defence.
Yeah.
But the work that is going on, like, we were always saying the last couple of years, it's just the defence, but they were outstanding yesterday. Brian Begley kept Kieran Kilkenny quiet for 45. You're not going to keep him quiet for 70 minutes. But even in the last 10 minutes, and I hate the Kerry kick out, it gives me the heebie jeebies. Every time it goes short, I hate it. But they kept winning ball. And they knew their roles, in fairness, and as much as a supporter makes you nervous, Brian Begley was constantly winning ball late on. Even when Kilkenny was starting to come into the game, the maturity, he's around a number of years now as well. But he was one driving out as well for the build up to that last free as well. And even bringing on someone like Paul Murphy has 8 or 9 years of experience. He's having to play a different role this year, but he came on. Easy option when he got that ball, be maybe stroll up the line with it or look for a hand pass.
He kicked it forward.
Nice bounce pass into Clifford. He won it. They were saying a soft free. Maybe it was.
It was soft.
If it wasn't that time of the game, you'd probably say,
I thought Davey Byrne did.
I'm a forward, so I don't.
You can see I was given, but like he wasn't overly on the body.
I'd be giving out.
Of course he would. Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, the ref would be.
Yeah, I think it was one of them ones that if it was different stage in the game, you'd probably just think nothing of it. Obviously, where it was and what the outcome was, you'd probably go soft enough.
But it was a ballsy kick by Murphy, you know, we have to.
It was, yeah.
That point, and, you know, it shows that. the easy, you know, I'm a cornerback coming out
but
of
that's
that.
Jack as well.
Yeah.
Jack is a kicking coach. And I always say it, when I played under Jack, I never, ever doubted my kicking. Ever. Mm-hmm. Because we used to kick from the moment you step foot on the grass at training to the moment you're walking. It was kick, kick, yeah. kick. Honestly, like, you'd see it with a lot of the boys, even the likes of Paddy, David Moore, now his prime example. Every time
David
he gets
loves
to
kick.
David loves kicking. But my thing is, if you're kicking, like even the goal, Shawnee's goal after a couple of minutes, he kicked it in. I was going to Clifford, mm-hmm. misread it. But you kick it in, anything can happen. And if yeah. you lose it, you're losing 120 or 30 yards in goal.
Yeah.
What's the danger? And that would always be my thing. And it has happened a lot in the championship as it's gone on.
Yeah.
Goals have come from kicking the ball in. And then you get all these bloody stats men on about
possessions
and turnovers and shite. Kick it in. Anything can happen.
Yeah. I actually call this, I think it was a Saturday, like how many times that we've seen, they're aimless balls being kicked into the square and they're causing trouble. Mm. And you know, I think that's the lesson that teams, it's not the percentage ball when you go back, like people talk about possession, we want to play the percentage ball. It's not a percentage ball, but you know, it puts teams in bother. Like, you know, when Derry will look back at that game, you know, you'll wonder, why did they not just kick more ball in? And you've seen that, you know, that goal for Shawnee O'Shea, ball was kicked in, bounced over the head, and, you know, there's a goal resulted from it. So, you know, that's a learning that teams will have to take going into next year. Just get the ball in there. And, you know, fullbacks have become nearly nervous under the high ball because it's not a big ball going in anymore.
It's more football, the full back line are playing. Yeah. They're all attacking because, and you're right, Eamon, if you kick the ball in, you lose it. The teams are so well set up defensively now. Like, you shouldn't be punished from that because most of your players are within your own half or around the halfway line. Let it in. Have a cut, you know what I mean?
And it like, is a case of...
Particularly in like, a 50-50.
It's not a case of I get the raw in the middle of the field, horse it in. Like, if you look at where David actually kicked that ball in, it's actually exactly... It's sideline going across.
Mm-hmm.
So if you overhit it, very rarely it's going to go over the inline so someone can loop around the back like Shawnee. If it drops short, it's going into the top of the D where that's the scoring zone. So all it takes is one fumble. But I do think... Like, we're seeing it, fortune favours the bravest team 99% of the time, I think.
And I think so. And another thing, when we are talking about percentages, you know, we're going to have to get away from the scoring zone concept. Mm. You know, everybody, my scoring zone is going to be different. Well, maybe not so going by the skills challenge, but my scoring zone is going to be different for your scoring zone, same with you. And we kind of... The percentage shot for, you know, your forward all your life is going to be higher for you in different areas. For me, it's going to be close to the goal. Like, and again, it's just nearly getting away from that risk-averse way of approaching games. And you said Jack O'Connor's a kicking coach, and you know that's what we need to move towards.
It's a great advertisement as well for, you know, moving the ball fast because.
And there was moments now, because I know it'll be highlighted. There was a period there I think Kerry had the ball for 3 minutes. I think Paddy ended up getting a score, punched it over the bar, which I know people don't like as well. But it was 3 minutes and it was awful to watch, to be fair. But I do think there are times in games where you have to be patient. Now, 3 minutes is a long time to be patient. So there are times where you have to be that bit cuter. But I think once you're trying to go one way,
people
appreciate it. Because, look, it was a great game to watch and it was unbelievable. Scores in and great moments of movement and kicking, but there also was on both times, both teams went back and forth, over and back, where that fear, which is natural, like a lot of players don't want to lose
the problem you have is when the build up is slow in, just say, a carry of the ball in their defence, and they, you know, someone's labour coming out with a solo and it takes time, and then the team are getting set up. That's the problem. That first kick is great because it takes that defensive structure out of it. And Kerry are really, really good at that. Like, you look at Man City playing Liverpool, they don't dwell on the ball, and they're not allowed to dwell on the ball. It's move, move, move. And yesterday, some of the scores Clifford got were just two kick passes over the bar. The Costello goal was turnover, three hand passes. Like, there was no thinking. They were just, get it up there as quick as we can.
And they're a prime example of people talking about the hand passes. This, when the hand pass is done with bodies moving and it's slick hands, it's as good as anything.
Kenny can take a hand take five players out with a 30 yard hand pass. Like, he's so good at
that
it.
That Dublin goal is everything they've been good at for the last 10 years, do you know?
It was brilliant.
The thing about it is that, and Derry will have to learn from the two teams that played yesterday, Kerry and Galway, that in order to be a top team, you've got to do it both ways. You've be able to be patient and you've got to be able to kick it. That's the way the game's gone. It's not where, you know, when we were successful in the first part of the last decade, where, you know, we've the defences, we counterattacked all the time. You know, you've got to add that second string to the bow. And, you know, if Derry stay in their one way of thinking, they're probably won't even get a Division 2 next year.
Before we go on to that game, because we're going to go off to Kerry Dublin game now, one player I want to mention is James McCarthy. He kicked an incredible score as well in the second half. I, for one, hope that's not the last we see him. I know he's had injury troubles this year, but what a Rolls Royce.
Like, there's no way he'll retire.
No, I don't think so. Like, he's just
so committed to the cause. And like
even his reaction to the score, like the camera zoomed in, like he was one of the focal points to get them going. But like, it was just an incredible
The kick
score.
Out he broke after
straight
the score.
Straight after, yeah.
You know, and they got a score out of that. It was just like, it wasn't the hardest thing in the world to do, to break a kick out, but he got a clean hand on it, and his demeanour after that was just
business.
Get up, lads. Yeah. Get up off your holes here. We're going at this big time, you know. And that fed Kilkenny in Felcostlo, and then they started moving. But like, Jesus Christ, the guy is like...
It's the player that
I hope he gets the $9 Ireland. Like, you
know, it doesn't, fairness, to be fair.
The player that I loved, if I was to pick, you know, we all have our players I would love to take from. James McCarthy was at the top of the list all day. It was just someone that he had the steel. He was like, there's badness in him too, but he's just so fit, strong, and he's a great footballer. And I, like Finney, and I don't think he'll retire, but when he does, we've got to just make sure we keep his jeans on somewhere that we can just replicate that footballer all the time. Yeah.
No, he was unbelievable. But I suppose before we go off it, like, in fairness to Jack, there was a bit of pressure coming down to Kerry the way he left Kildare. But this is why he was brought back by Kerry. And I've been a big supporter of Jack. Obviously, I had him twice. And the one thing I thought he would bring back to Kerry was that bit of doggedness, that bit of stubbornness. You mentioned in the interview after that they've been working a lot on the mental side of the game. Mm-hmm. And I do think if this was over the last number of years, they would have lost that game because momentum was fully with Dublin. Kerry did go back in front by a point with a Shawnee Shea free. Dublin pulled back. Tough one. The Dublin equaliser, I don't know if you noticed it, it was a brilliant ball in by Fenton. Paddy Small won a great mark but got a push. And as he's hitting the deck, he's there to the ref. Push. I'd say it was a case of, better leave Dean Rock at this. We'll take the free instead of the mark. Because
game smart.
Yeah. And he had a big impact as well when he came on. But I had to laugh when I saw it. It was a case of, we're in the 74th minute. This is around 35, just to the wrong side of the goal. Yeah. Ref, that wasn't the mark. It was a push.
It was brought up,
I'd say, for a mounting or something. Yeah. But I had to have a laugh at it. But from a Kerry point of view, look, genuinely as a supporter, like, you know, it was one of my most enjoyable, like, I can't, like, 2019 as a first year old, it was a bit funny. Your first year away from it, it's a bit strange. Mm-hmm. But yesterday was probably the first time there was a supporter where it definitely got over animated. So looking forward to the final, and definitely won't be watching it as a neutral. But Finian, now it's your time to shine. None of this.
This could take a while.
Yeah. Myself and Eamon will come back in 20 minutes. Yeah. But look, there was one of the games going into, we couldn't call. Like, I genuinely, like, just chatting to people down the bar over the last number of days, they're like, oh, what about the first game? I was looking forward to watching it. It was one of the ones, intriguing is the word I'm going to use. I'm not going to use the negatives as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But I kind of felt that it was going to go that way at the start. Yeah. You often use the word mirroring. You use it as well in terms of Donegal. And it's not that we all feel the same, that both teams would be just, we use the phrase as well, afraid of losing. I don't know how well you describe it.
I don't know, afraid of losing. I don't think I'd agree with that term in terms of, it's just how they set up. Mm. And again, it comes back to, you know, possession. Like, Derry had four men, just a good example. You know, it's been well documented that they throw men in the full forward line to try and stretch it. And they didn't use them because they didn't want to give away the ball. Like, and it comes back to that possession. They have the one way of attacking. Mm. I seem like, even though Derry probably averaged, I think it was 21 points up to that game, including the extra time with Donegal. And I felt going into it that they just were lacking a wee bit in the attacking part of their game. You know, that they have to go on that journey. And the worst thing for them to do is just radically rechange the thing. And, you know, listen to people say that you need to go a different direction. They're on the right direction. They've got to get to where Dublin and, you know, Kerry are at now and have the both sides to their game here. And Galway, I'd actually back Derry for the semi-final, but it was like a toss of a coin. Galway on yesterday's show, and once they got a wee bit, you know, they were a bit lost there in the first 20 minutes. But once they got going, they showed that they're a wee bit further down the road than Derry. Definitely not at, unfortunately, funny, and they're definitely not at Kerry's level, but they're going down the road, and they have the plenty more scope for it.
Yeah, Finian, from a Galway point of view, you're watching the first 20 minutes, Derry are dominating, but it's only 3-0. Are you sitting there getting frustrated? Are you kind of quietly happy enough that Derry are dominating, but it's only 3 points, will eventually kick into gear here, will eventually poke a couple of, or are you getting worried that this is going to be a case that we're going to lose this 5-4, 5-3 or something?
No, I think it was the consensus in the stand, certainly, and I had my two daughters with me first day out, so they were tired and emotional and trying to figure out what was going on.
I'd
and
say
stuff
you were
like
tired
that.
And emotional too.
It was a long day. So the first 20 minutes didn't help me get the, you know, the parade was the buzz, and then the game started and it was like,
yeah, dead.
Do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and it just stopped. So we were kind of saying, there was a Derry guy next to me who said, Jesus, we should be way more ahead here or whatever it is. You know, we should be 4 or 5, maybe a goal or whatever. And I think the Clare game for Derry kind of fed into that, because they were kind of thinking, let's hammer Galway early doors here and see what they have. You know, let's get everyone behind the ball. That was obviously the tactic. But when we were only 3 down and then we got a point, then it was 3-2 all of a sudden. And we were kind of looking at it going, how are we only a point down here or whatever it is? This is good, because we're not playing well at all. You know, we've mirrored Derry, we're well behind, but up front we'd nothing. We'd, you know, Kenny McDade had missed one, Dylan McHugh took one from out on the sideline. Yeah. We were panicking, and we used the word last week, patience. I said, shit, we're not going to have the patience here to do this if we're going snapping like that. Mm-hmm. But then it takes the wildebeest to get the ball and... You know what I mean? He just saw the gap, and that kind of ignited us. Once he saw that gap and got it over with the left, it was kind of right, let's get tighter to this guy now, because this guy can really destroy us today. It turned out to be, but that kind of lit the flame for Galway, because we were just going back, and maybe our boys kind of said, well, look, you know, they've a lot of bodies behind the ball, but are they that good at this? Can we get at them? And we did eventually after 20-25 minutes we started opening up a bit. So like, it was a nervy start, and I was thinking, Jesus, you know,
I would have said Joyce would have been, and Keane O'Neill would have been just tearing their hair out in the first 20 minutes or whatever, because obviously they would have prepared for Derry. They knew what Derry was going, everybody knew what Derry was going to bring, and for them to be making all them bad decisions and, you know, snapshots, Joyce would be saying, like, for him to get a set, I didn't see any way. Once Derry got that start, I said, oh, they're actually going, like, what are Galway doing here? They're Dariel Cruz. But in fairness, like, talked about leadership, Comer showed the leadership and he just stood up, and again, such a privilege to watch that, and, you know, to see that in action. And it was, you know, I don't think they're going to beat Kerry now, but, you know, they'll make them think.
Well, even watching Comer, it is actually unbelievable to watch that. It is a case of, give me the ball, I'll make something happen. And when you are playing against a defence, we're always talking about kicking. Sometimes there isn't holes to kick it into. Do you know? Sometimes you can't, when you're on the ground, you can't actually see the space to kick. And it is up to fellas to look at their man eye to eye and just take him on. Or it's a forward hand pass where then you add that bit of pace. And that's what Comer did. He added that bit of explosion to it. Do you know? Where he has that robust structure. Like, if he gets up ahead of steam, he knows he has all the skills in the world, but he also knows that, if I have to go into contact here, I'm big enough and strong enough to be able to go through fellas.
I suppose, give him a compliment and criticism at the same time here, but like Damien over the last number of years, and, you know, the word maturity and immaturity come to mind. Like, when he first started playing for Galway and a couple of years after that, it was very, get the ball, Damien will bully out of the way, because it was like an under 10 kind of a player, where it was just like, I'm the man and I'll kill everyone and I'll score. You know, and he's had to mature, you know, on the pitch and off the pitch. His father passed away at a really, really young age. So I'm sure at home he's become kind of the general, and he's, you know, he's helped. He comes from a fantastic family. They're great people. great Galway people from Annadown, and he loves Galway and he loves it, but sometimes he gets too much on him. Why isn't it happening for me all the time? Then the injuries came and he broke his foot, and you know, he was getting a bit disillusioned, Damien, you know, with the whole thing. And obviously this year injuries, you know, went away. He got really, really fit. He looks way fitter than he has done over the last number of years, and he's more mature. His performance on Sunday, you know, not just typical let's bull lads out of the way and use my body, and you know, a little bit of, you know, mess acting and stuff on the pitch as well. It was in his locker. So he's changed all that. He's really mature and he's turned into an absolute leader. And that performance on Saturday was so mature from him, you know, all around. Everything he did was, you know, the new Damien Comrie. We know he has ability. We know he's got unbelievable strength and power. But up here, he got that right, and it all came together for him. And I was just, you know, hearing him speak after, I was just delighted for him. He deserves that performance.
Just hearing that makes me just love him all that more, like, because when you hear the journey he's been on there, and you know, you say he's robust, like, it's just he's just a monster. Like, did he work in a pub in Galway a few years ago?
He worked in Taft's, yeah.
I would imagine if there was any hassle, just come over, just give the look and everything would just quieting down.
Yeah, he'd be able to fire a few lads out. But I used to mark him in training, like, every, you know, particularly in the latter years, you know, when you'd be on the B team and you'd be marking Comer, nightmare, like, you know, just leave me alone. He'd just move. He'd you know, particularly in an AVB before a championship match where everyone would be really up for it. Like, you know, you might get him on an off day, but, like, the power is just frightening. Like, he was doing these jump tests back when he started, and I remember the strength and conditioning coach going, like, this lad's jump is like, he's in a different realm. He's in NFL territory. Like, his natural strength is just phenomenal.
And the way Shane Walsh has been kept quiet, relatively quiet now, his free, some brilliant frees there yesterday, the way from play that he's been kept quiet, and, you know, the pressure was on Comer to deliver, and he delivered yesterday. So probably when Shane Walsh gets, when he thinks back now, let's say he needs the big final here, if Galway would have any chance, Shane Walsh needs to be, you know, making stuff happen from play.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about the matchups with Galway Kerry yet, but, like, from a Kerry point of view, just looking at them, I don't think they have anyone to physically mark him, to be honest, but we'll talk about that another time. A big talking point the last year was Hawkeye. It's amazing. We're getting to all our semi-finals around about Hawkeye. Why it was needed at the time, I was a bit surprised as well. It looked fairly obvious. And then somehow technology is supposed to be the future.
It's very strange. Like, what was the story with the umpire? Did anyone find out after that? Like, it was pretty much straightforward. Like, no more than your own wife. My wife could even see it was over the bar. She hasn't a clue what's going on. It's strange. Or how do they look at the when the ball goes over the bar? Some of them run around to the front to see. But it wasn't even contentious.
I get their mentality. Because they're going to trust to say, right, I'm not 100% here. I get why they go. But, like, it was an obvious point. If it came push comes to shove, I'd imagine they'd put up the flag. But I get they just want a wee bit of affirmation here. It's a natural point. We'll go to Hawkeye. Hawkeye's not. But they've learned, and we've learned an important lesson, technology. And, like, we're on about AI and, you know, driverless cars. Technology's going to let us down.
Well, we are not on about that at all.
Oh, it's just me. The technology is going to let us down. We can't rely on this too much.
No.
We need, this has to be a lesson going forward for society that, you know, we can't rely on technology too much.
The poor Joy said, you know, technology is only human.
but at the same time, you know, how many, why are we only saying that? How many points over the years has Hawkeye got wrong?
Well, Conor Glass had one in the second half that, I don't know.
Looked to score.
Yeah.
Looked to score where I was anyhow. Yeah. Looked, you know. And they used to revert to the linesman the odd time for a point, didn't they? That was contentious. So you've got two umpires, a linesman.
And a computer.
Fourth official, a computer. You've got a lot going on there. So, you know.
And the actual flow of the game, you know, it was a big thing. It was it because the momentum changed, I felt. Mm. You know, and I think it was a big, big call. I think it was a big call. But how many points have we seen, you know, good points that haven't been given down to umpires? So I'm not too worried about the whole Hawkeye thing. You know, they'll get Hawkeye sorted now. But there's been points around the grounds where there's no Hawkeye that haven't been given.
We
have to take that into consideration too now.
Yeah.
And when it was corrected, the deck of Galway had probably been lifting one tree in a row straight after half time.
Well, we were 4-4 and in a game against a very defensive team, that's a fine margin to go from 4-3 down, psychologically in the dressing room, to go from 4-3 down to 4-4 to level pegging again. Mm. And Derry had defended as robustly as they could. They had all the bodies inside the 45, and it was a case of, you know, if they got a point in the second half, 5-3, it's a huge difference to go in one down and then come out level. Do you know what I mean? I just thought psychologically for Galway, actually a mate of mine that was with me, a bird took a shit in his head. So I said, geez, that could be good luck. And when we came back in, next thing was point, point, point. This is great.
Right.
It's only good luck when it's not you.
We forgot to do the lotto, but no, I think that psychologically, I don't know what you think, Eamon, but like to go in 4-3 in a game like that and come out 4-4, I'd say psychologically.
Massive in terms of the flow of the game and the fact that, you know, that Galway had actually got another score right away after the disputed point. It was, you know, it was a big, big thing. And, you know, Derry were probably lost above a momentum, and it just Galway got wind in their sails and they just went at them. And I think for me, looking at that semi-final, I would have felt, I was sick as a Donegal man, because I thought we gave Derry far too much respect in the Ulster final. And I think, you know, you've got to go at them. You've got to ask questions. And we didn't do that. Galway, although they struggled, they did ask the questions, and the likes of Comer and these lads went out and just kind of put it up to Derry. And you know, Derry will have to learn from that.
I think from a homework point of view, sorry, Darren, on Derry playing that defensive game, they did... We spoke about it last week. Sean Kelly was a big, big addition out the pitch. Like, Sean Kelly's not a natural fullback, and actually our three fullbacks aren't. They're more ball players, and Sean Kelly will kill you with runs going forward. Mm-hmm. And when they retreated back into that, Sean was able to go up to midfield, his most comfortable position, and start punching holes. Yeah. And he's devastating going forward. You know, he is absolutely, like any team, if you want Sean Kelly, you want to pin him back into the full forward line or full back line and ask him questions in there, which I think Kerry will try and do. But
he's
like
going to be pinned in with Clifford.
Well, exactly. I don't think he'd be on Clifford when we get to that, but I think if he's any way out around the D, and he showed in the second half a couple of the runs he made, his control is so good. We saw in the Sigerson, like, scoring goals going forward. And when Sean McCurran comes back in the next year, well, hopefully next year, Sean Kelly will probably be out at 7, where he's going to go to a new realm altogether going forward. He's in that Gavin White, Carl O'Connell, you know, Brendan Rodgers. He's like that, you know. So I thought that was a big mistake by Derry. I think they should have left one up, maybe just to paint him back a bit, you know.
Yeah, and like, I suppose, like, going into the game, my one thing with Derry was, if they don't get goals early, you don't get that momentum. The game is always a bit more stretched in the second half. There's more holes. We've talked about the Galway forwards before. They're free scoring all over the six forwards, that they might have a bit more. And they got 2-4 from turnovers, Galway. And Derry went from the 12th to the 62nd minute without scoring from play. Like, you're going... No, look, they've made a meteoric rise to get to this stage.
Yeah.
And obviously, there was hype and momentum and build-up, but just not there yet. And like you said, they don't have to go away from what they're in. They need to just tweak it and take it up a little.
I just think the fact that Shane McGuigan, who's probably one of the best forwards in Ulster and definitely in the top 10 in the country, spends an awful lot of the time in his own half. And granted, sometimes you've got to do that. Sometimes you've just got to scramble, get set up and, you know, make them hard. But, you know, you want your quality up there, the way Clifford's up there. Mm. You know, you want him fresh and being able to create up on the other end of the field. And
you want his energy in the opposition half. Yeah. Like.
And Derry are going to have to add someone to with McGuigan, and they've got to add a wee bit more kicking, and just got to basically evolve the same way we've all went through.
Yeah, and Finian, your Minors had an All-Ireland title.
Unbelievable win, yeah.
For a man who tries to play things down.
Yeah,
you won a minor.
We've had a great year.
You've had a great year.
Well, look, our hurlers as well did brilliantly. It's party time in the West at the minute. Like, it's been unbelievable. It's not built on, you know, years of whatever. It's just we've got really, really good management teams in place. The Minors lost to Leitrim and Mayo twice this year and went on and won the All-Ireland. You know, if you think, like, that's, you know, to lose three games convincingly and then go on and win. sometimes you just need something can spark it. And you know, that was an exhibition on Friday night. And I suppose our biggest challenge over the years has been, you know, we go on and win a minor or we win an under 21 and then that's it, sure, look, it'll come in time and the players have to figure it out. We need to start channeling because our underage structures aren't the best, our coaching isn't the best in Galway. We don't have those facilities. Our facilities are pretty shocking as well with regards to training pitches. So there's loads of work to do. So I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, we've got a monumental next few years coming. We've a lot to do to channel what we're doing at senior, what we've done at minor. But it was a great start. Like Friday night was just was epic. The boys did brilliant. You know, the corner back there, Thomas Farthing, he's the type of guy now that we need to get in. Really good man marking corner back, Aina Monaghan up front.
But like, that's the problem with the structure. Like, he's 17, he's only a child. Like, he's a long, long 100%. Way.
He mightn't be playing in 2 or 3 years' time. And in Galway, the way it is, that's what happens. So we need to channel these boys and try to get them into under 20 and get them ready for senior, because realistically what happens in Galway is an under 20 manager comes in, he'll care about himself. He won't be looking about getting them 21, 22 ready for Porrick or whoever the senior manager is. He'll just like, we have to win an under 21. That's what we have to do, and whatever about developing them, I don't care. So we need to get that in place. It was a big win. It got us started on Friday.
And it shouldn't be a case like people underestimate that minor one. It might only be in terms of how it affects the senior. Like, it might only be a percent, maybe 2%, that you get away, the seniors say that's a brilliant and they get a wee lift, but it's still a lift from somewhere. And you know, I remember we played Dublin in the semi-final 2014 in the minors, who were underdogs as well. And, you know, the doctor was doing the line for the minors and he came in and he says, yes, the minors have won. It gave you a wee lift. And the same thing again, once Galway had won that, they would have definitely got a wee lift from that. So definitely shouldn't be, you know, disrespected. And in terms of the Galway thing, it's interesting because, you know, from chatting yourself and chatting other men, like, there's not a lot in terms of, there's still a lot of work to be done at the structures.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they're doing so well in the hurling, you know, they've won the minors and they're in a senior final, like, it just shows you it doesn't have to be that. Most county boards tend to wait for cycles. They'll just, a good team will come along, they'll get the final, and it doesn't have to be that way. Like, Galway by right should be, you know, again in that top four bracket all the time if they get the structures in place.
And what happens in 2 weeks' time, you know, if we go down fighting against Kerry, or if we win, or whatever it is, it's building for the future, and it's sustainable that we can compete every year. Like, we don't want to come out next year and have a crap year and go away for 5 or 6 years, because that's what happens in Galway, because we're traditional, and they'll come along. Michael Donlan will be around the corner, or Jaff Allen. It doesn't happen, and there's a huge bit of work, and we need to use this run this year to really promote the game in Galway, particularly in the city. Like, we've no schools doing well, you know, the merging of coaching between the schools, it's just not there.
I'm just going to stop you there because you're trying to make everything negative at the moment.
It's brutal.
But just before we go on from the game, another goalkeeper mishap out the field. You love to see it. Oran Lynch this time. Are we going to see the end of this?
Incredibly harsh in keepers.
Ah, look, I'm sick of him. Shane Ryan took off at one stage. I was roaring at him.
He was kind of jogging back, was he? Orland,
if people like watched that clip.
Maybe he was sprinting, but it looked like he was jogging.
There was a saunter.
If you watch the way he jogs back, then you'll realise he has no business being out the field at all. Like,
I was watching that again this morning, and I was like, he's not in much of a rush, is he?
I was looking for the player on the goal line, because I was sure this guy thinks that there's a player, like, he's covered there.
But again, ticking a box, because, you know, Ethan Rafferty, dynamic outfield player, Niall Morgan.
Can I just say, Ethan Rafferty played outfield county.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. No, and I'm not saying I like him doing it either, but he is going to be better than anyone. Niall Morgan plays outside of his club.
Began is times, like, he's not going to be as dynamic or explosive as the lads we mentioned, but he can still play.
I still play outfield in my club, and I couldn't play outfield for Kerry now. Like, there's a reason you're in goal for the county. It's normally because you're not good enough to be out the field. So, look, I think
some keepers can do it. That's what I would
say.
Some
keepers can do it, but not everyone. Like, oh, now Shane Ryan plays outfield for his club, and he took off yesterday, and I was roared. Get back. Get back.
He's about 6'6". But I have to give a shout to our own goalie Connor. You know, was under serious pressure. Talking Galway all week was where we changed the goalies, this, that, and the other. I thought he had a great game. You know, his long kickouts were good. You know, he was composed on the ball. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it was kind of, that was the talk all week, yeah, where we're changing the goalies or whatever it is. But he did really, really well.
I would have been saying that too. We've got to go at that keeper. Yeah. You know, Gleeson would have been fragile. Mm. Like, Derry should have went at him and tested him out a wee bit more now.
It was just a pity he actually conceded so late, like, kind of took the glass if he got a clean sheet. Mm. But look, all in all, we've Kerry and Galway in a final.
And just on the corner backs, I was sitting in the 21, we'll say, Derry defending, and you'll appreciate Chrissy McCaig and McCluskey were, they're good players. They're serious, yeah, serious cornerbacks. McCluskey, Shane Walsh tried to take him at one stage. 99% of the country he'd yeah, got him, but how close McCluskey got him to turn him back out was really a signal. It was early in the game, it was on the Cusick stand side, Hill 16, and you just see the way he gets tied and pushes him back out. Shane would have burnt most players, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Like, he's a serious, like, he's probably been the all-star cornerback, and Chrissy McCaig, the two of yeah, them have been, you know, from our point of view, them two boys have been absolutely outstanding this year, like, you know, so they're
and
a
it
huge
bodes well for Derry in terms of that they can go to that more expansive.
Big time.
It is. It's been boys. Like, obviously there'll be a sour taste now and disappointment, but when they look back on it, the journey they've had and the position they're in now, yeah, to kick on, it's brilliant for them. And look, more power to them. But Kerry and Galway in a couple of weeks, but we also had the Tailteann Cup final. Westmeath, first ever Tailteann Cup winners, and we were talking about it earlier, the scenes in Westmeath and Mullingar were incredible. Might be another place to go this week, Finian, but it was great. It was a brilliant win, two of the best teams in it, as we said. I suppose we all thought Cavan going into it, obviously the performance they put up against Donegal, but Westmeath, worthy winners on the day.
Worthy winners, you know, I thought they were up until Galligan's, you know, they'd played well, then the flow went against them, mm, in terms of, you know, Cavan got the goal and it looked like they were going to see it out, and then Galligan got the red card. But probably overall Westmeath were worthy winners. I'm actually delighted Jack Cooney would have done a wee bit with Donegal in 2015 or 16, mm, and he's a good guy, solid guy. So I'm delighted for him, and I'm delighted to see the scenes, you know, that the fans have bought into it. And that's a big thing. If you know, you can create a buzz from one in a couple out there, and the fans like just throng the streets singing the song. And you know, some kid that'll be at that there will say, "I want to do this," and that's how you inspire the next generation, and how you create a good vibe about the cup. So again, it's going well for the future for the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah, and Kieran Martin obviously got the all important goal later on. It was an unbelievable lung bursting run through the middle outside the boot finish, but he also had a huge block then in the 72nd yeah, minute yeah, or something like, putting his body in line. And he's been around for a while, like, and you know, it's just a fitting way for the game to end with him getting the goal and then a big block. And you know, it was brilliant. No, it was actually brilliant to see. And like, I suppose the turning point was the red card, like, it was just a bit over the top by Galligan, a big shoulder into the face of
reckless, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he split him. It wasn't nice to see him, no, in fairness. He was so late.
It was a funny one. I was just, yeah, it was.
I don't think he went to do him or anything. No, it just there. It was just the yeah, timing was awkward, just terrible.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant. Like, obviously, he got man of the match, but Ronan O'Toole is a serious, serious footballer. His ball for the goal was, yeah, was tasty, lovely ball across. Do you know what I mean? His vision and his little jink. And obviously, he scored 4 or 5 points. He's been brilliant all year. He's yeah, been one of the standouts. Like, and I actually tip Westmeath. I just thought up front, they're very, very, you know, McCartan, they've really, really nice, you know, yeah, nice Dolan. They're nice footballers, and if they get space, they can take shots. And a lot of pressure on Cavan because everyone's been tipping them from the off. And then, yeah, like, you need to win that game. And we were saying last week that the losers of that game would be really disappointed because you lose out on guaranteed All-Ireland championship next mm-hmm, year. You know, there's a holiday.
There's more pressure now in the league.
You know, like, there's materialistic things as well. Mm-hmm. But, like, to go through the year for Westmeath, now they get to go off and bond on a holiday, have the crack, come back and really have a cut at it and say, look, we're worthy of being in the All-Ireland next year. We're definitely there. So whatever happens in the league or the championship, they've a cushion now to go into next year. It's phenomenal.
Like, they were 3 points down coming into the last 10 minutes. Got 1-4 out of play. It's a good sign of a team to be able to do that against a team that were hotly tipped. But like you said, they're automatically into All-Ireland next year. They will play each other next year in Division 3. But mm-hmm, the pressure is on Cavan now going into January to be right for the league, because look, they'd prefer to be in the All-Ireland series. Mm. So promotion is a huge thing for them now.
And it'll actually be another endorsement if Westmeath get a good run the All-Ireland series next year. It'll actually be a great endorsement for the Tell, another endorsement if it needs any more, another endorsement for the, and teams will look up and say, look at Westmeath, they've, you know, if they get to quarter final or, you know, get to the third qualifier game or whatever, people say, geez, they've went at it, they've won it, and, you know, that's the building block. But in terms of Cavan, will be disappointed. There's talk now management might move on. Don't know how true that is. But again, they have all the building blocks. And we would have chatted with Kane before in terms of, you know, why can't they? Why does it have to be sporadic performances? Yeah. How are they good enough to win Ulster? You know, put it up to get against Donegal. And then, you know, they're playing Division 4 and Division 3. You know, that's something that they'll have to have a look at. And terms of how they play and what is about.
I don't think consistency is an individual performance. And do you know what? A lot of it just comes down to how much pride you have in your own performance is going out in the field. And if it's come day, go day, and if you'll take your good performance with your bad performance, do you know, that's normally what it comes down to. But like in terms of the Teltown Cup next year going forward and teams that know they'll be competing in it, seeing the benefits of winning, Westmeath going up the steps of the Hogan Stand, the celebrations in Mullingar, the extra few bob for a holiday, hopefully at the end of the year, they'll have a medal presentation. Like, it must be exciting for other teams now to get into it, and the format next year will be better. So, like, all in all, I'd say it's been a big success this year that can only keep growing.
Definitely.
Do you agree?
No, it's been brilliant. No, you can tweak it, obviously, maybe get more games for the Waterfords and the Carlows.
It is to be tweaked next year, group stages,
yeah, which would be great. But it's been absolute success. The games have been brilliant, you know. And for Westmeath to come along and an underdog, they were underdogs at the weekend to win it. And, you know, there was pressure, as we say, on Cavan, but I think it's been a huge success and it can only get better. It's a realistic chance of silverware. And as you said, you saw the scenes in Mullingar and everything, the crack, I'd say, was brilliant, you know, summertime and they're enjoying themselves.
And I know, you know, you should probably know this as anybody, but the holiday can't go how understated how
huge.
Important that is for terms of our team, in terms of, you know, that group is together. It's more time together in a different environment, in a relaxed environment. Lads might have conversations that, you know, they would have never, you know, you're going to your hotel room, you have a chat with your roommate. But in terms of the whole group, like, how many of them chats do you have? And it's going to bring them tighter. So it's a big, big thing. And I know it's, you know, people might look at it, as you say, the materialistic thing, but it is a big thing to get away in a team holiday.
Oh, it's huge. And a lot of they might have probably never done it together as a team.
Yeah.
Like, most of your memories are in them nights out or them trips away and stuff like that. So, no, it was brilliant and fair play to Westmeath. And it was actually great to see it celebrated the way it was. In the ladies' game, it'd be the first time since 2002 there'd be no Cork or Dublin in the final. I know you were delighted the weekend.
Big result for the girls. I know that they have, there's a good group there. There's a good group of girls and they've been, you know, soldiering for this last few years, so to see them get a big result out there is kind of, I know a few of them, and they're, you know, they put in an awful lot of time and they're so committed to the cause, so delighted for him. You know, Mark McHugh's involved in the coaching side of things there, so delighted for him too. And you know, it's a big thing to beat me the next day, but you know, they'll definitely fancy themselves.
Yeah, and unfortunately Galway were beat. But yeah. Kerry were actually, and a few of the girls were above. They were sitting near me yesterday and they're playing Mayo next week. So, no, it should be good. Hopefully we'll get big numbers at the ladies' games now as well. And maybe two new finalists, maybe. Kerry, Donegal, maybe
a good
one.
That's kind of a result as well of the tiered system, I think. It's given like, look at what Meath did. And now you've got Donegal and Kerry coming. Like, you know, Galway have been kind of there and thereabouts, but like Meath put me to the very end. Emma Duggan got a score at the end. Manus Brannock's done a brilliant job, in fairness, with Galway. So like there's six or seven teams that can win in All-Ireland over the next few years, not just Cork and Dublin anymore, or, you know, obviously Meath have come. So like it's very competitive, it's great, and it gives all the girls in these counties a real carrot of actually winning the All-Ireland, you know.
Yeah, and before we wrap up, I want to give a mention actually to Louise Galvin, who was back on the Kerry panel yesterday, only a couple of months after having a baby with Donica Walsh. She's probably one of Kerry's greatest ever athletes, between Gaelic football, rugby and basketball. And when I seen she was back on the squad yesterday, I was just like, she put us all to shame. But unfortunately, we've gone over time. But I'm delighted to be joined today by Eamon and Finian.
Cheers.
I'll be keeping you in the middle next week when we'll be previewing the All-Ireland final. So join us in. So it should be a few fireworks.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer, but I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Give him a goal. It's high. It's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think it is?